John Batchelor with Dr. Livingston, Dr. David Livingston, Dr. Space himself of the Space Show, my colleague and co-host on Hotel Mars. And we're joined by Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center, who has designed for us what the Chinese plans are for boosters to lunar orbit and beyond. But once you get into lunar orbit, you need to land and then return to lunar orbit. And Rick has brought to my attention that the Chinese are looking at several versions of a lunar lander, proposing, I'm supposing, of course, this would be the same, although larger and more challenging on a Mars landing. One that particularly catches my attention is not the lander that lands on aft section. It lands sideways, or it lands on its side. Is this part of their planning? They're just blue skying everything, or are they building such a craft, Rick?
In September, an article in the Chinese Journal of Deep Space Engineering published an article by several engineers from the China Academy of Launch Vehicle Technology, major state-owned corporation that designs spacecraft launchers and the such. This article detailed the kind of horizontal landing capable moon lander that you mentioned, John. It's roughly 24 tons in weight, which would mean that the Long March 5G, which can loft about 27 tons to the moon, would be capable, fully capable of transporting this horizontal moon lander. Now, I would say for the last 6 years, the Chinese have hinted at a number of moon landing ship concepts, starting with a very curious concept based on the old Soviet LK, single person moon lander that never made it to the moon in that first moon race of the 1960s. The Chinese have had access to the technology of the LK, and Russians have told me that they spend a lot of time at Bauman University in Moscow, where one of the prototypes of the LK is located. They've probably poured all over it, taken all sorts of pictures and stuff, and then went home. Another concept that was revealed in this January looked a lot like the American Constellation program moon lander, with the innovation that instead of having to travel down a long ladder from the return stage of the moon lander, there was some tunnel that would allow the astronauts to descend into the first stage, the descent stage, and thus have a shorter run down the lander. And then we have this horizontal moon lander. And on top of that, the Chinese have also revealed concepts for moon rovers that would also be transported by the Long March 5G, land horizontally, crewed or uncrewed, I'm not sure. But once it lands on the surface, it has four wheels and can start rolling.
David?
You talk about these articles in Chinese publications. So I'm just curious, is there information considered accurate, reliable, and dependable, or do people outside of China reading it have to be wary of misinformation and they're trying to misdirect the West?
David, that is a very appropriate concern. When the concepts are revealed by Chinese officials intimately associated with the moon or space program, I tend to take them a bit more seriously. Even if they look a bit wacky, these are usually images that are part of briefings made by these very well-placed individuals who would actually know this. And then when we see the same images show up in briefings by other Chinese space experts, possibly senior engineers, that tends to give a little more credibility. Now, the articles and journals, yes, these have to be examined closely and compared to other information, but the Chinese space program, in a sense, is not transparent. When we see the article in the Chinese journal about the horizontal moon lander, we really have no idea whether this is a funded program or whether it's a program that's seeking funding, whether it's a program that's been rejected and the engineers are just publishing the article to make just a, you know, a few renminbi that they're allowed to make by simply publishing an article.
Rick, the Chinese and the Russians have not joined Artemis Accord and have no intention to. Do we know why? Have they revealed what their plans are for their lunar colony?
The Chinese would very much like the Russians to sign up full force for their international lunar research station concept. The Russians have not yet signed on the dotted line, but according to indications from Russian sources, they may be about to do just that. Whether the Russians will have the ability to fund a full participation with China on the moon, especially as the Chinese manned program starts in 2029 or 2030, remains to be seen. But Russia's chief engineers, it were the chief space company, the Energia concern, back at the, I believe it was the 2007 Moscow Air Show that I was able to attend, unveiled a really a kind of novel architecture of space launch vehicles and moon landers as part of their air show display. It was tough to get an understanding from them on the show floor how serious this was, whether this was going to be funded. But at the most recent Paris air show that I was able to attend, I believe in 2019, the Russians for a second time displayed a rather ambitious moon base architecture of their own habitats, their own landers, their own power modules and the such. Again, the Chinese would probably have to subsidize these programs, but the Chinese probably have their own and would be probably less likely to subsidize the Russian kit.
So you see one colony on the South Pole or two colonies competing, Rick?
I think the best future for the Russians is to be invited to send cosmonauts as part of the future Chinese teams that end up on the moon. I'm not sure that the Russians will have the wherewithal to build a second lunar base.
David, I want to check with you because you speak a great deal with people inside the business watching this. Is this all clear and fresh information to you? Have you heard this before, that the Russians and the Chinese are in some fashion competition for the South Pole?
Yes, I have. And I've even seen papers from people from Harvard and elsewhere that are very concerned about what China may do with their property in terms of finding ways to block access to somebody else wanting to go to the South Pole. So there's a lot of concern about it, but there doesn't seem to be any concern on the policy side, which is why I ask these questions on the policy side. I think there's a big gap between the people that know and understand space, that come on your program, come on the space show, and that are involved in commercial space, and the policymakers and the people allocating funding for these programs and advocating them. And how that gap gets bridged or does it, I think is a really serious question. I mean, for example, why would you invite China into Artemis, Rick, when they are ripping off intellectual property, when we know what they do with our and other Western technology?
We'll leave that answer to another segment of Hotel Mars with Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center and David Livingston, Dr. Space himself, of The Space Show. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.